The following is a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mulman Media Management and staff.
Welcome, this is Joe Poe and
Mary Helen Deere,
hosting Kiowa Talk, created by the late J.T. Goombayer. Sponsors for Kiowa Talk here on Saturday on New Country 98.5 KACO, Apache, Anadarko, Lawton, Fort Sill, are Kiowas for a Better Future, District 5 Legislator Anita Johnson, District 7 Legislator Jacob Sotai, and Lawrence Spottedbird, Kiowa citizen. So at first, we've got Jacob Sotai giving our prayer for the week. Jacob, how are you doing this week? And take it away.
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. And let us go to the Creator. Aho, Donkey, Creator, we come before you humbly, acknowledging you, your power, your majesty in this beautiful day that we celebrate as human beings. We thank you for the breath of life to allow us to be in this world, so that we might be of service to our fellow man. We thank you for all your riches and blessings that you have bestowed upon us as your children. And we ask that you be present now as we enter into this radio program, that you would keep our minds and hearts open to the information that we will hear and that we can share this with our fellow Goigu. We thank you for all the beauty and richness that you have bestowed upon us as a people, our language, our songs, our dance, our heritage have kept us going as a people, has sustained us in our journey. And for that, we are humbly thankful. We ask your presence now with our military men and women, who are sacrificing on behalf of this country and this land. We thank you for their service and ask you to be with their families in their absence and keep them safe and out of harm's way. Be with our elders this day. Protect them from all that could be of danger to them. Keep them away from this virus. Keep them well-fed and nourished in their journey. And may you call upon someone to visit them and help them to know that they are treasured by all of us. Be with our children as they journey into the realm of education each day. Keep them safe and secure in the daily activities they encounter. Keep their teachers safe so they can receive the best of education that's possible to prepare them for what lies ahead in their journey. Be with all those who are on the margins of our society, those who are homeless, those who are confronting mental illness, those who are struggling with addiction, help them to find a source to empower them to return back to being productive citizens and feeling secure in their journey. We ask you to be with our tribal leadership, help them to maintain the vision that compelled them to serve their people and to maintain the integrity that is required to serve and lead in a good way. Be with all of our guests today, especially be with our special guest as he relays information from the work that he does on behalf of all tribal nations throughout the country. Help him to be an effective voice for our people as he shares this information on a daily basis. Thanking you for allowing them to, his father and he, to return to his people this weekend. It was good to see them and to hear them share their knowledge and their history of our people in that good setting. We thank you for this past weekend, the celebration we shared with the state of Oklahoma and the United States of America. Such a wonderful blessing that we've realized that we'll be able to build a partnership with others as we learn more about who we are as Native people, and for all the things that will be able to be shared in that facility. We thank you for that. Be with us now today as we continue to participate in the things that we are involved with. Help us to be good citizens of our people and our country. Forgive us if we have not reflected your light in our lives. Help us to be kind, generous, and thoughtful to one another. Be with us on our journey. Aho, Doc Keith. Amen.
All right. Jacob, thank you for that wonderful prayer. Next portion of the show, well, let's go ahead and turn it over to Mary Helen Deere. Mary Helen, take it away. Oh, actually, you know what? Excuse me. We have a special guest here in the studio, and we've got Lawrence Spotted Bird, who is one of the sponsors of the show, and he would like to make a special announcement. So, Lawrence, you go right ahead.
Well, thank you for this time. And as many of all of the Kiowas have observed and grown frustrated in our leadership and the way our tribal government has been operated, that frustration has caused me to pray about it. And as we all know, a little over 3 years ago, I ran for tribal chairman and didn't succeed. The current chairman is now there. And, you know, I've thought about it and I prayed about it and talked to my family. And, you know, we've collectively decided that I should run again for tribal chairman and bring in what I've learned through the years from other tribes and to help our people, basically to help our people. So I've decided to, when the time comes to file for candidacy for chairman, I'll file that candidacy as a resident of Oklahoma. I have to move to Oklahoma soon, springtime, and be ready to run and hopefully see what the people decide. I will also announce my candidate in the near future who has like mind and been trained and professional and sober, ethical, professional Kiowa man. We're going to join forces and bring our leadership and knowledge to the tribe if the people choose it. And so I want to officially say that I'm a candidate. I will be a candidate for tribal chair in the springtime when it's time to file. And with that announcement, I want to outline basically what I've been formulating for all these years working with tribes around the country of my vision for the Kiowa standing together in 2022, I'm calling it. We can only succeed by bringing the best Kiowa minds together with one mission and a unified vision together. And so by doing that, we have to first and foremost reach up to Doc E for guidance each and every day in our lives and as leaders. If we're selected to be leaders, we have to reach up every day to Doc E to guide our path and to lead us as good leaders. And we have to reach out to our elders to value their wisdom and guidance. We have to reach out to our educated, professional Kiowa leaders to join us in our endeavor. And we have to bring our youth together and capitalize on their energy and teach them how to be leaders in the future. And we have to reach out to our non-community leaders as well to stand with us in our endeavor to build our tribal nation and our communities where our people live. And so based on my 40 years of experience in working to build tribal economic development for tribes across the country, and this includes Alaska, I want to use the experience to build what I'm calling a three-dimensional tribe. Three-dimensional tribe, and one dimension, of course, is our tribal government. The other part is for economic development to create Kiowa Incorporated, a for-profit business that will lead in our economic development plans. And third, to create a Kiowa Community Development Corporation, a nonprofit community development corporation that will lead in developing other programs to subsidize and support our tribal operations. And so getting back to strengthen our tribal government, we need to clean up our finances and conduct audits, bring those up to date. We need to establish a Kiowa-led management team to do this. We need to also conduct a forensic audit to find out where every dollar was spent and to hold those accountable if they were misspent and misused. We need to establish a Kiowa Elders Advisory Council, a Kiowa Youth Leadership Council. I want to seek tribal self-governance status to raise our status as a tribal government and develop a 477 workforce development plan to train our people to take care of themselves and their future and their family, and develop, lastly, a 10-year strategic plan. We need to have a plan. Without a plan, we're like a ship without a rudder. We're just hoping that we end up somewhere good. But if we have a plan, then we can know where we're going together. And lastly, our tribal government headquarters will continue to be in Carnegie, as far as I can see. The next is our Tribal Kiowa Incorporated, which will be a Section 17 corporation that will lead in economic revitalization of our tribe and the communities where our people live, with two key priorities, is to create diverse revenues and support expanded government programs and services that our people need, and create jobs for Kiowa tribal members. We need to establish a federal government contracting enterprises, establish retail centers for fuels, Kiowa arts and crafts. We need to establish a technology-based enterprises that our young people are growing up with technology. We need to take advantage of that and create business opportunities in the 21st century. And one vision that I have is to create Kiowa farms. We need to be able to farm and lease our own tribal allotments that our people still own, and manage that and grow farm crops like everybody else, but pay our people better lease payments for their land. And we need to establish a Southern Plains Intercultural Center. The gem of that will be Indian City, USA, that we acquired years ago and haven't done anything with. And we also need to revive Kiowa Chronicles, an initiative that was created by my father, Sherman Chettleston, Shmo. That was his vision. And so we need to pick up Kiowa Chronicles, and that will tell our own story to people around the world. Ourselves, we can tell our own story. And then the third part of our three-dimensional tribe is to establish a Kiowa Community Development Corporation. The key to that will be to establish a Kiowa Tribal Empowerment Center, which will have components in there of a workforce development center, a tribal small business development center, a Kiowa Tribal Loan Fund, a Kiowa Venture Capital Fund, and a for-profit housing development corporation to complement our HUD-funded housing department. And then the headquarters of that, I think, will be in Anadarko. So this will help impact our three key communities where our people live. And this can all be done, like I said, as we stand as an example for our youth and others to observe us as Kiowa adults, elders, and leaders, to lead the way first and foremost by relying on the guidance of Dog Key every day in humbleness, and leading a sober and drug-free lifestyle. This has been the poison that has been destroying us as people for far too long, and also our leaders for far too long. But we need to stand as an example that we can be sober and drug-free, and we'll lead in an honest and open manner. no misleading or lying, but always informing and communicating with all our Kiowa people. And we need to lead according to our Constitution and work regularly with our legislators, establish a tribal judicial branch and tribal court, like it outlines, and meet regularly with the people, the KIC, and find and use good Kiowa tribal legal counsel. Rely on our own people to guide us in a legal sense. And we need to amend the Constitution as needed. It's not perfect, but we can work on amending that and making it better. And we need to serve as the servants of the people. That's what I'll bring is what I've learned from all my years and working with tribes is that I've learned how to the good things and the bad things. I want to bring the good things to our Kiowa people. But most of all, I want to work to build the trust of the Kiowa people. I read a man that I respected once said that people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. So this is the vision that I hope we as Kiowas standing together can focus on our future together. Proverbs 29:18 says that where there is no vision, the people perish. So I do. I know we don't want to perish. We have survived centuries of attempted genocide, attempted assimilation, racial bias and discrimination, political misrepresentation, broken treaties, disrespect. We can change that together. We can stand up to all this by standing together as Kiowa people. This vision cannot be achieved by me or any single person, but together as one. So I want to close by saying, let us empower ourselves in 2022. That can become the year that we all stand together and put in the hard work ahead of us and build a strong, healthy Kiowa nation for our future generation. That's all I want to say.
All right, Lawrence.
Any questions?
Lawrence, no, we don't at this time, but we will develop some questions and we'll have you on subsequent shows as you request or we have got something that arises. Thank you for taking time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to have some subsequent meetings to kind of go to some of those things in more detail and provide, you know, feedback and respond to those because there's a lot to do. There's a lot of work ahead, and whoever takes over next year is going to deal with a lot of fallout from this administration, and so there's going to be a lot of cleanup as well. So thank you for letting me take some time.
All right. Thank you so much for taking time to come on the show. Again, everybody, that was Lawrence Spotted Bird, who just announced his candidacy for next year, and we thank him for taking time to come. The next portion of the show, we're going to turn over to Mary Helen Deer. Mary Helen, go ahead.
Thank you, and thank you, Lawrence, for a beautiful vision, and I hope it comes to pass. Our next guest is Dennis Sotai, and I will try and remember his total thing. I know he's a cultural specialist at the National Museum of the American Indian in Washington, D.C., Smithsonian Institute. Dennis, well, I'm so glad you agreed to come on at this last minute, and I've known you for many, many years and have followed your travels in the world. And this portion is kind of to get to know some of our Kiowa people and their background and how they grew up. And I heard you speak this weekend at the museum in Oklahoma City talking about your life and your dad's and everything. So just kind of recreate all of that and tell us about your interesting life.
Well, thank you, Mary Helen. I would like to say I'm just one of the many Kiowas who are living away from home now, who have roots in Oklahoma, family and community, and we are lonesome, you know, wherever we are for our home people and for our customs and to hear our language. These are things that we don't enjoy when we live away. I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. My father is originally from the Elk Creek community in Hobart. And now he lives with me in Washington, D.C.
What were some of the things? I know your dad was a real leader in Albuquerque and also was real good with my mom, and they worked together, and kind of brought the Kiowa tribe up to prominence. And your dad was a great teacher. What about those teachings for you, and how did that affect your life?
Well, my father went to Riverside Indian School, and then to Baycombe, and then to Haskell Institute back then, and where he met my mother, who is half Okewenge Pueblo and Isanti Dakota, and they moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico. When they first moved, there were no powwows in New Mexico and most of the Southwest. And my father brought something that was uniquely Oklahoma. That was the powwow tradition. And he helped its inception. And I remember as a young boy going to flamenco dancer's stage, and there must have been about maybe 20 to 25 individuals from many different tribes, northern tribes, southwestern tribes, southern plains tribes, and they had the first powwow on this flamenco dancer's stage. Today they have the largest powwow in the world, approximately 7 miles east of that flamenco dancer's stage. My father also helped establish the New Mexico State Fair Indian Village in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and also was the founder of the World Championship Fruit Dance Contest, which he tells each year in February at the Hurd Museum in Phoenix, Arizona. And while there, we have fostered some goodwill between the Plains Indians and the tribes of the Southwest.
Well, and from that and watching your father do that, how has that guided your life as you grew up and went to college and all that you've done there?
Well, I see him administer many different projects and follow through with them. And that he had dreams and he went after them and made them reality. And that's something that I took to heart in my own life. And so now in my new position, well, I've been here for 15 years, Washington, D.C. I've gone out on my own and done things that will bring honor to the Kiowa tribe. And, you know, I'm a member of the Pilot War Clan, and I remember when I was initiated, they told me this organization is made up of members who will bring honor and prestige to the Kiowa people. And I always remember that in everything I do, that I always put my foot forward and make sure that I don't bring dishonor to the Kiowa people and let people know I'm Kiowa and I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, those are some of the words that my grandfather told me that, and my grandmother also, was to live my life so that I would bring honor back to my ancestors and to my family. Tell us some of your travels. I know you've traveled quite a bit. So how about some of your travels to across the oceans?
Well, when I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, my mother's sister had taken me to many non-Indian venues to see the Santa Fe Opera, to see ballets, symphonies. And I noticed there was a void in Indian culture. Our people were never on stage. And so I thought, why is our native culture not as valuable as the finest ballets, operas, and symphonies of the world? Something needs to change. And so I administered the Great American Indian Dancers. We were in Albuquerque first, and then I moved to Oklahoma, where I started this company with Shoshana Wasserman, who's now the deputy director of the First Americans Museum. And we auditioned for the Oklahoma State Arts Council. Within a few years, we were in the Heartland Arts Council and then the Mid-America Arts Council. And these are actually touring programs in which they book us in different areas within their regions. And they do all the publicity for us and help with the stipend. And once we were a success, we then gained 5 different talent agents, one in Kent, Washington, one in Mequon, Pennsylvania, one in Bal Harbour, Florida, and one in San Diego, California. And then the Foundation for International Cultural Exchange in Paris, who were constantly booking us. And so we didn't have to do anything except negotiate contracts and go on tour. Personally, I have traveled to over 40 countries and 49 of the 50 states sharing goodwill of American Indian people. And of course, I always let people know how proud I am to be a Kiowa citizen.
Yeah. I remember, and I don't know if you got a chance to see the recreation of Two Hearts, two Cultures, One Heartbeat. I probably got that wrong. Two Worlds, One Heartbeat. And
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, coming to the First Americans Museum was a homecoming. And during my time in Oklahoma, I had made so many friends with so many different tribes. And it was good to see a lot of my friends and family and be surrounded by them constantly. One thing that, that this is a personal anecdote, that growing up, I was crazy. I lived for the 49 and a nightlife and good times. And but I've moved on and I've changed. And my peers, my family, and my friends have allowed me to do so. And I want to thank them personally for letting me move on, because I'm a different person now. And I'm just very happy that I have many new opportunities in the new life that I have here on the East Coast.
Yeah, that's really wonderful, the things you do. I understand that you've also become acquainted with and have done some work with the Indian community in New York City.
Yes. Each summer, the American Indian Community House has their annual powwow in Queens. And it's one of the two powwows that I am involved with here on the East Coast that has gourd dancing. And so we love to go up there each summer and sing gourd dance, because otherwise, we have to come back to Oklahoma in order to enjoy this. And this is something I really enjoy, along with my father. We like to sing together. I mean, it builds our spirit and it creates bonding. And when we get to do it with our Kiowa people, it's even more enjoyable.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever told you, but when I lived in New York and became involved with the Thunderbird Indian Dancers, I was their American Indian Queen for that year. I think that was like 1966. And I still have my banner. And Steve was telling me that he was talking to you, and they're having, at their annual powwow, they're going to be having a memorial to Sammy Tarrant and Kevin Tarrant, his son, who were very much part of our lives when we were there in New York. So I said, well, I guess I'll just have to dress up and wear my banner again.
But it was, and wear your banner too.
Yeah. It's good, because that's all we had when we were away from home as far as any Indian community. And so they became a part of our life. And they're very, they have very many tribes that belong to that, as well as hobbyists. And
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but they're at least they're learning the right way.
Another, Another thing I wanted to mention is that when Native people move away from their communities, they try and find other Native people. And one of these resources is in a Christian setting. I know my father in Albuquerque was very involved with the Kiowa Indian Connection, made up of all the Kiowas in Albuquerque and the surrounding areas. And he was also the song leader at the Albuquerque Indian Baptist Mission and established a songbook made up of many tribal hymns that are sung to worship Dalkey. And a lot of Southwestern people can now sing Kiowa hymns thanks to him and you know, teaching and others also.
Yes, he's a wonderful resource, and you're so lucky to have him as your father. I know he has tried to teach the Indian way to young people and to non-Indians, and that is so necessary to our continued life as Indian people on this planet.
You know, since moving in with me, I've learned a lot. Out here on the East Coast, we have to learn a different lifestyle and have a different mentality in order to survive. And oftentimes we forget about our roots, about the ways we were brought up. But he has brought this knowledge back to me and made it important in my life again. He often gets on tangents talking about the way it used to be among Kiowa people. And I don't speak. I give him respect, and I listen, and I learn. And this is going to be so valuable in the future to me and perhaps many others, because I share the knowledge that I learned. Through the doors of the National Museum of the American Indian, we have some of the most resourceful, knowledgeable people, Native people in the Western Hemisphere. And for the price of a cup of coffee, or if I buy them a meal, I can hear their stories and learn about their cultures. And I'm really not stingy with my information. I want to help others, especially our young people who may not be exposed to Native culture, nor may they not know how to access it. I try and give them avenues, encouragement, and love and support, because this will help them and empower them in the future.
And that's how we survive. So
well, that's how I was taught. That's how Kiowa elders, as I understand from what my dad said, used to be. Uh-huh. And we were the elders were the support system, and they were the cohesion that held families together. And he always said family is very important to Kiowa people, and you have to be family to have family.
That's right.
All right. I wanted to thank you for taking time to be on the show today. We're going to go ahead and move over to our next portion. I appreciate it, and we hope that we can talk to you again soon on the show.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a nice
day. Thank you.
All right. Mary Helen, looks like our next guest has just walked in. It's Miss Anita Johnson, the District 5 legislator. Anita, you go ahead and what do you think? What do you got to say?
Well, good morning, and I'd like to say that the legislature has been pretty busy, as you well know, that we have put forward two budgets, and both of them have been vetoed. The first one, we could not overturn the veto. We had it requires five legislators to vote yes, six out of seven to vote to overturn the veto of the chairman. And we did not have that type of vote. We only had five and two negative no votes. The second budget vote was a veto. The action by the chairman was a veto. And that happened this past month. And so we haven't brought that back up for a veto override yet. We have good indication that may have enough votes this time to overturn the veto. So if that happens, then we will overturn the veto of the chairman and get on to an election quicker than had been expected. And as you know, throughout these past few years, we're allowed two modifications within the year. So there are unfinished business that was not included in the budget that's been forwarded right now. And those type of adjustments could be made in a modification, which affect the executive branch and also the other branches of government, legislative and possibly the judicial branch. And I haven't heard any word from the KIC. And by way of that, right now we have a proposal that is a legislative order, and possibly our speaker hasn't set a date for that legislative order, but possibly this coming week we can do a legislative order to get a KIC meeting going. And so we'll just have to wait and see when we can ask the speaker to schedule that legislative order meeting. And that's a voting meeting, and we have to have a simple majority of legislators at that meeting to vote, and that's 4 out of 7. So if that happens, then we will be on our way to a KIC meeting. Now, precedence has already been set, even though that's not what usually is supposed to happen. Precedence has been set already in 2019. And so not saying that this can happen all the time, but because of the predominance of COVID-19 right now, it seems that we can carry that on right now because of everything that goes on right now is based on COVID-19 and the scary part of that, contracting that. So that's hopefully what will happen this coming week. As far as other news, personally, I have attended the opening of the museum in Oklahoma City, which I was kind of thrown backwards about. They began that in 1994, and so it took almost 30 years to complete. But I tell you what, that is just a magnificent structure. Beautiful, beautiful. And I just have to give kudos to whom I know there's been many, many people involved in creating that museum for Native Americans, for the Indian people of Oklahoma. And I just commend everyone that has worked on that. It's been an action of many hours to many people. And congratulations to everyone that took part in that. It was such a time to historical event for the Indian people of Oklahoma, and not just the Indian people, but also the state of Oklahoma, to have such a world-class museum located right here in this state, which represents 39 federally recognized tribes. And you just don't have that federally recognized tribes in one state. We're probably the only state that has that many federally recognized tribes in it. And I really enjoyed my time there. I didn't have enough time. There were so many lines at different events. You couldn't hardly get in. So we made a plan to go back when it kind of dies down a little bit so we can meander through the museum and enjoy it. But hopefully I have many years to do that. I'm up in age, but I still have plans for my future, too. I'm hopeful for the ones that haven't gotten their ARPA assistance yet. I have still receiving calls from people in my district that haven't received their assistance yet, but I do make phone calls and leave messages as instructed on the message. And haven't received any feedback. The last 3 days I've made calls and have not received any word back from the messages. But hopefully the COVID Center will contact me about individuals I've called about. Personally, I'm hoping that the children will start to get their assistance. And was glad that the newspaper, I captured one at the gift shop yesterday while I was at the Kiowa Complex, and saw that they gave out 1,000 cards, which maybe they handed them out. I'm sure they mailed some out also, but that's quite a number of cards. But we do have more than 1,000 children. And so I'm not sure where the rest of them have gone, but hopefully they'll get those cards out. Personally, I was opposed to cards. I know that the families have a need for other kinds of assistance, but there was a different plan than what I had proposed. I saw that there's been a change in one of the legislators. Demeanor or his stance with the legislative process and the legislature as a whole makeup. And so I don't know. We had a slight meeting, a working session the other day, and so I get my hope in that. It's with full sincerity, and but you just never know. I mean, you know, people's mind can change overnight and within a few seconds. So life circumstances get a hold of you, and you can change your mind on a dime. So we hope that this will hold out for a while, and it's true to the person. And hopefully we'll get some business done rather than the push and pull that goes on in the legislature. Not supposed to work that way, but that's the way it happens to be working. And we just take the events as they come and try to work through those things as best we can. And Kiowa people, y'all just just continue to pray for the legislature because we depend on that so much. We attended the grand, I don't know whether it was a grand opening or a grand finale to the Feed a Trust event over the what is called the Indian City. I'm sure we're going to change the name to that event. As I was driving out of there, I immediately saw the fencing around it at the front gate, and I thought of a stockade because that's what it looks like. And I thought, my goodness, we're really going to have to change that front portion. We're not behind a stockade, and it looks like an old fort stockade. So I don't want to have that picture to the world for the tribe that we're behind a fence. And like we're locked in or something. but I'm sure someone has already thought of that with a better mind than I have. So anyway, that's about the extent of my report that I can imagine right now, other than, no, I'm thinking of something else. I know that people have been told, and this is repeated almost daily, that we have people calling and saying, we're not getting help. I went to social services, the Kiowa tribe, and I'm not getting the help that I need. Can you do something about it? And I got an urgent call of a family that has a death in the family, and they were pleading with me to make calls. And so before I did, I kind of took a deep breath and said, took my problems to where you take your problems. I said prayers over it first, and took about an hour or so, and then I began to make a call. First of all, called the funeral home to see what had happened and what steps were taken. And lo and behold, they had already been taken care of. So I didn't have to make the ranting and rave call. And I saved myself from being a obnoxious fool. So, but it works out that way. And I really thank the people for holding the legislature up in prayer, because sometimes those miracles happen for us. And it's just a wonderful outcome. Even though it's a sad situation, it gets taken care of in the right way. So I thank Mr. Robles in the social service department for doing a good job and taking care of our people for us.
Nita, thank you for your commentary. Stand by. We may have some more things to banter about here at the end. Jacob, it's your time now. Now we'll have District 7 legislator Jacob Sotai to give his take on what's going on with the legislature today. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Anita, for giving that broad overview of our legislative activities. I echo your sentiments about the amazing and awesome unveiling of the First American Museum. It portends a lot of educational opportunities for not just our children, but for our adults who don't know much about our native presence here in the state and really have some misunderstandings about what we represent, who our people are, where we've come from, our journey, the history of our people, a legitimate history, and not just a whitewashed, as it were, history of who we are. And I look forward to, like you, Legislator Johnson, to return and to take that in much more slower pace and learn myself about the individual tribes' experiences, because I think it's so important as we undo the power of the almighty TV that has given a generalized picture of who we are as Plains Indians, that we each have a separate identity and have established a separate cultural presence in our communities that needs to be learned about and exposed to the general public. So I'm very thankful for what that landmark facility holds for our future as Native people. And then I was able to attend the Thursday unveiling of the moving our Indian City purchase into trust. And I want to thank the role that former legislator Rodina Waters had played in helping to obtain a grant from the Shakopee Sioux Tribe that allowed us to purchase the 198 acres. There's a lot of potential there for our future. We might be able to consider the possibility of relocating our office complex to that land area and make it more centrally located and open it up to a broader employment pool. People are a lot more willing to drive 1 hour from Norman in Oklahoma City than they are an hour and a half to Carnegie, and we would deepen our employment pool and give more people with educated backgrounds the opportunity to consider serving as part of our tribal governmental system. So I'm very excited about that. That was a very historic occasion, as we are, and that's what we need to be focused on as a tribe, is to reacquiring property that was taken from us, sometimes illegally, in order to build our base back to near where it was historically. So very excited about that. And I, too, am cautiously optimistic that we might get some legislative cooperation among our body, within our body, to move forward despite the obstacle and barrier that the chairman presents with his veto. And we might be able to work through a budget that's acceptable on all sides for us. And if he does move to veto, as he is wont to do, then we would have the power to override that. I just wish that it had come earlier in the summer when we were presenting the proposal with the $3,000 payment. We would have had to shortchange our citizens by settling for the $2,200. I still contend that was illegally distributed, and it wasn't a constitutionally sound decision by our chairman and executive branch to go ahead and invoke that that law that really doesn't apply to the distribution process. So there's some promise there if we work together, to and that the notion of checks and balances comes into play. If we are able to maintain our independence and our autonomy as a body, to be able to check executive branch and be able to express our voice in a way that could be heard and viable. So it has some, I'm excited about the potential, whether or not it unfolds the way you hope it does, we'll see, because politics is a dirty game. And we just have to look and see whether or not we can hold the line on that. So, and to echo, I know Legislator Johnson mentioned that the payments for our children are forthcoming. I was told that on Thursday that that they had a table up to check on the ARPA payments. And they told me, and I'll get more complete details, and I will put that out in my newsletter, about the minors distribution. They are still trying to get information and documents from the individual applicants. And so that's kind of impeding the progress of that. But it's just really unfortunate because the minors should have been the ones that were processed first, because the new school year was upon us sooner than we could have realized. And they're still needing the help that would help them to enter into the school year on an equal basis as their classmates. And now they're caught without the means to help transition into the new school year. So I'm hopeful that they'll be able to get that expedited into our minor citizens as quickly as possible so that they can receive full benefit of that payment.
Well, that sounds good, Jacob. Do you have anything else you want to share with the people before we move on to the next topic?
Well, I'm very excited about the announcement. Thankful that we have someone of high character and quality to be willing to serve our people, and it portends a new era, I believe, in a seasoned and reasoned campaign for Mr. Spotted Bird that he had thrown his hat into the ring. I think in this next few months will be a good opportunity for our tribal citizens to get to know him and to hear his plans for our tribe in the future. And I think his points he laid out fill a very specific outline for economic development, for cultural enhancement, and for an improved government system that would help to remedy some of the challenges and barriers that we've seen this past year that have created such frustration and anger among our tribal citizenry. I'm very hopeful and optimistic that we will have an opportunity to consider such a high-quality candidate
in the next election there in May, June of next year.
Well, I'm sure that we have Lawrence Spotted Bird is a sponsor of the show, and we will be hearing him regularly on most all of our shows between now and Election Day. Jacob, thank you for coming on. Go ahead and hang on for a little bit. Well, go ahead and hang on for a little bit while we discuss this next topic. So all four of us were just recently at the ceremony bringing the Indian City land into trust, and the chairman only stated that, you know, he was responsible for bringing the land into trust, and we're forgetting many of the people, and some have passed on, that were before us. And I know that there are some surviving members of the old KBC that were there. Mary Helen, do you want to go ahead and go over who was at the meeting from the former KBC?
The only one I saw was Richard Goykoot, who is elderly and compromised in his mobility, and yet he was there, and no one mentioned his name. Also, Modena Waters was the one who wrote the original grant to the Shakopees in Minnesota to get the $1 million to purchase Indian City for the Kiowa tribe. Those are two that I know and two that I saw there, and no mention of their name. Oh, Don Nakoni was also there. Was he on KBC? Okay, so Don Nakoni was a KBC member as well as Richard Koikut, and they were both there to witness the signing of the papers. And that was way back in 2009, I think it was, 2008, when that was all that work was done. So just like Anita mentioned in Oklahoma City, that there were many, many, many people over the years that helped. The same with Indian City. There were many people involved in the purchase, in opening it up for just a little bit, and then to what, you know, it will hopefully be. The museum in Oklahoma City cost $175 million and still more to come. So I'm just wondering, is there a plan put forward, a five-year plan, to what will be built at Indian City?
Okay, real quick, we've got a couple of announcements and we're going to have to sign off. We got an Indian taco sale on Friday, October 1st at OCU Watson Lounge. The next thing is we've got the Medicine Lodge Intertribal Powwow September 24th, 25th, and 26th at Medicine Lodge in Kansas. The MC is Cy Atone. The head gore dancer is Sydney Topaw. War dance singers, Robert Tejano. If there's not a lot going on this weekend, you guys should head up to Medicine Lodge. Next, we have an art exhibit on Saturday, September 25th at the Apache Casino and Hotel Event Center. All right, that wraps it up for Kiowa Talk this week. We'd like to thank all of our special guests and all of the Koyu people for tuning into our program on KACO New Country 98.5, Apache and Adarko Lawton Fort Sill. Please pray for the Kiowa people, and as J.T. Goombay would say, Goombay for now.
The previous was a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mullman Media management and staff.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's 7 members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the 1 in 3 could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Pre-Diabetes Awareness Partners.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters. I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.